We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to praise God for, his faithfulness and what he has done for us as a church, what he has done for us as a congregation. And one of the things that I find so incredible is the incredible leadership that he has provided this church with. And the over the years, and just the incredible unity that they continue to walk with. And it is an absolute privilege to be a part of that team. And I count it a joy and a privilege to be able to meet together. And so, yeah, sometimes we have to work through some challenging things. But, you know, the people are such a privilege to work alongside. And the wisdom and the insight that God has given the leadership of this church is absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And so please continue to pray for the leadership. Continue to pray for that continued unity. I'm gonna have to nutshell it today because we're running out of time here, but nonetheless, God's word is powerful and God is good. And so in Ezra chapter 6, I'm gonna read Ezra chapter 6, verses 13 to 18. And so it begins, Ezra 6, 13, verse 13. Then Tattenai, the governor of the province beyond the river, Shethar-Bozenai, and their colleagues carried out the decree with all diligence, just as King Darius had sent. And the elders of the Jews were successful in building through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they finished building according to the command of the God of Israel and the decree of Cyrus, Darius and Artaxerxes, and king of Persia. This temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar. It was the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. And the sons of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. They offered for their dedication of this temple of God 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all of Israel, 13 male goats, corresponding to the number of the tribes of Israel. Then they appointed the priests to their divisions and the Levites in their orders for the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. This morning, we'll just briefly go through some of these things, and it was an incredible journey. The Jewish exiles are returning to Jerusalem with the permission and blessing of King Cyrus of Persia, and they begin to rebuild the temple. Israel had been in exile in Babylon for about 70 years, and a very small remnant was now returning to Jerusalem. And it's only a very small remnant, and of course this is the first wave of what's going on. And so there are 50,000 who came back from exile, according to Ezra 2:64. Now their survival, their sheer survival, was confirmation of God's love. The fact that they survived was confirmation of God's favor and his steadfast love, according to Ezra chapter 9. They had lived in sin. The reason they were in exile is because they were living in sin again. And God stirred in their hearts. God stirred in their hearts, and he was pursuing them as he does. He continues to pursue mankind for a relationship. They had sinned against God, and they recognized their sin, and that they recognized that their sin was against God. They recognized that they were undeserving of his favor and his merit, and God extends his grace. And of course, they returned to the land that God had promised. But you see, while they were in exile, when they weren't walking with God, when they were living in disobedience, they were missing out on incredible blessing that God was pouring out for them, or that God had for them. They're missing out on this incredible blessing that was theirs. And it's a cyclical thing, as you see this is happening over and over again. God would bless. They would rebel. Then they would realize and because God would judge them, and then they would repent, and then God would bless them again. And it just shows what kind of a steadfast love that God had for his people, for these people, because he loved them and desired that they have a relationship with him. His desire was not to sentence them to wrath. His desire was for them to walk in an intimate relationship with them. But they got caught up in the things of this world, in sin and disobedience. But how does this come into our world? How does any of this come into our world at all? And the question that I have to ask myself is, what blessing am I missing out on? If I'm walking in disobedience with God, yes, I am a child of God. I will not lose that my position with as a child of God. I will not lose that. But what are the blessings that I'm missing out of? Because sometimes I want to walk my own way. I want to go my own way. I live in disobedience. I sin. But what blessings am I missing out on while I'm that relationship is struggling? God wants to bless all of us, but what are we missing out of because of our disobedience? If you're not a child of God, do you understand the blessings that you're missing out on? First of all, here and today, here now and today, and then for all of eternity. What does that mean? What does that look like? God wants to bless us. God promises many things. In fact, in this passage of Scripture, you can see that God's promise is fulfilled. The whole train of events was set into motion to fulfill those promises that were given in Ezra chapter 1 and 2. When God promised to take them out of their exile and move them back into Jerusalem, this was an incredible act of God, and we see that God continues to fulfill His promise in all of this. You see God's provision in all of this. As He provided for them, as He provided finances for them. Here's a king, and He's sending them back to their country. He's sending them back, and He's not sending them back empty-handed. He's sending them back with the finances in order to be able to rebuild the temple. Isn't that incredible? This is God's provision. He releases all the things that were in the first temple that was destroyed. He says, give it back to them. All the things that Nebuchadnezzar had taken, he said, give it back to them. And only God can turn a heart of a king to do these things. Only God could order a king to pay these expenses. And we see God's sovereignty in all of this. There was no obvious miracles, but it was one imperial discussion after another initiated by God Almighty. Who stirred? What did he do? He stirred in the heart of Cyrus, put a certain thing into the heart of Artaxerxes, and again saw to it that it pleased the king to send Nehemiah to reverse a previous policy. Equally, of course, it was God who stirred the spirit of each volunteer who worked on the temple. We are told to return from exile. He stirred in the hearts of each person to return to Jerusalem. He stirred in the hearts of each person to work, to build. And to do all of these things. What an incredible time. But then they come to the point where the temple is completed and it's time to dedicate the temple. And it's completed in Ezra 6, verse 16. It says, and the sons of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. And so that is, it's done, and God has led them through this, He is worthy of their praise. They have reason to celebrate. There is reason to be filled with joy, but not by anything that they accomplished by their own hands, not by anything that they had done on their own. It was all God. It was God stirring in the hearts. It was God providing funding. It was God. It was God. It was God. Man, if you look in the life of this church, you can see the same thing happening. It was God, it was God, it was God. Well, one of the things that I love of what they did, and you can read of the offering, and they gave this incredible offering because of their gratitude. This is part of their dedication. This is part of their service. They worshiped God, and they gave Him a love offering, and they worshiped Him because of what He had done, because of what He had given. And of course, their numbers had been reduced, and their offering is going to be substantially smaller than that offered by Solomon at the time of temple, by the time of the first temple dedication. But with a heart of gratitude and obedience, they make their offerings to the Lord God. And as we consider this passage and how it relates to our church, to Ulster Mission Chapel, and the leadership and the vision and all those things over the years, we can see and we can recognize that God began to stir in the hearts of people many, many years ago. And you saw many of those people here this morning. That God began to stir in their hearts, gave them a vision and direction. And it wasn't, again, it wasn't a big showy ordeal, but God stirred in their hearts. God stirred in the hearts over the years as you saw different phases. As you move from renting a community hall to the first phase of the first little building that we was here. And then the second building, in the addition that seated about 300 people roughly. And then from there, continued to give vision, stirred in the hearts of the leaders, stirred in the hearts of the people. And then we sit here today. It was God stirring in the hearts of the leadership. And we see his fingerprints in each and every detail along those 44 years of the life of Ulster Mission Chapel. Isn't that incredible? That when you look back through the history of this church, you see God's fingerprints all over it. How he has moved, how he has stirred, how he has provided, how he has taught people, how he has led missionaries out from this church, how he has led people to serve in so many areas. You see God's hands in all of it. It is God in everything. And even as we look at paying off a substantial mortgage in just 3 years, we began with $550,000 3 years ago, and tomorrow we pay the remainder of it, $49,000 and some dollars. God has been faithful. His hands are all over it. His fingerprints are over everything. To be able to provide that kind of finances, to be able to stir in the hearts of the people to give, to be able to stir in the hearts of the people and get so interested in kingdom work that they're willing to make sacrifices because of this great God. And so not only are we debt-free this year, but man, we've increased, not only have we are we giving this $10,000 plus to these several missions, but in our budget that was passed at the end of February, I think it was something like $30,000 or $40,000 extra for missions this year has been set aside. Isn't that incredible? Because it's what God is doing. We're now free from that burden of that debt. And so we rejoice in that. Even along the way, we have not remained just focused on just paying off the debt and not doing any ministry at all. In fact, over the years, the missions budget has been steadily increasing. And we've been able to do many things, not just focus on paying off, but ministry has continued. And that was part of the vision of this church, of the leadership, was to continue to grow, to continue to serve, not become stagnant, but to continue to move forward. And God has stirred in the hearts of the people. And God's bounty provision is, of course, today, like Israel, we celebrate with great joy God's faithfulness in bringing us to this place of debt-free. And so in OMC's attitude of gratitude, we celebrate, of course, by giving $10,000 plus to these seven organizations. What a privilege. And so in a sense, you can see it as, God, this is our offering to you. You have blessed us richly. And God, we give back to you because you have blessed us and we want to be faithful in what you have called us to. Worship team, why don't you come forward? And we're just going to wrap up here this morning. God has been so incredibly good. God has been so incredibly faithful over the years. And there is much reason to celebrate. There is much reason to rejoice. And thank you that you have allowed God to stir in your hearts and that you have responded to that stirring. And so we're excited to see we've come to this place in our journey. And so what is the next What is the next part of that journey? And so we're excited to see where God is going to lead us, where God is going to continue to give a direction. And so and we pray that God, you will continue to stir in our hearts and to see what he can accomplish. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you teach us through your word. Thank you that you have been faithful through all the years. And as we look at even the children of Israel and how you have been so faithful to them, then we look in our own lives and you have been so faithful to us as a church family. And God, we recognize that and we realize that. And so we thank you for that. And as we move forward from here, as we continue to journey on, as you give us time, then God, we pray that you will continue to stir in our hearts, continue to give that direction, continue to give solid leadership, continue to give unity in this church family. And God, may you be honored and glorified through our worship, through our giving, and through our service for you. Because God, we just want to make you famous. May we make Jesus famous in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.